Fred Film Radio is joining the Sydney Film Festival Australia.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio from the Sydney Film Festival, and I'm here with Charbanu Sadat, director and screenwriter of Wolf and Sheep. Good morning, Charbanu. Thank you for your time. Wolf and Sheep is an amazing film. I really enjoy watching the film. And one of the reasons why I found the film very amazing is because it brings us into a very unusual setting for, you know, people who haven't experienced Afghanistan, which is Afghan rural life. And this is a strong link with the Afghan mythology, which is like the narrative in the film. And the other very interesting thing for me was that the narrative was provided through the viewpoint of children. So Afghan rural life in a very remote village through the eyes of children. Tell us a little bit more about this village life and its stories of mystery and imagination and the way in which you put together this narrative.
Well, you know, for me, writing this project was something that it was very organic, because on that time I really didn't try to put connect these things that you were talking about together to make something bigger. It was more like talking about a memory, because I was living at a similar villages in rural part of Afghanistan when I was a kid.
There is a kind of autobiographic note in...
Kind of. I was 11 years when we moved back to Afghanistan. I was born in Iran, and my family lived in Iran for many years. They were Afghan refugees living in Iran. And in 2001, after the 11 September events, when American and international communities, they came to Afghanistan, my parents, they decided to go back to their country. And the only place that they knew from their childhood, because they were very young when they left Afghanistan,
right,
it was the small and isolated village in central rural part. And of course they wanted to get back there because they had families, they had relatives, and they had farm, fields, house that they abandoned. And for them it was really this feeling of going back home. But for me as a child, I was 11 years at that time, and I was completely blind about the culture, about Afghanistan. I've never seen a picture of Afghanistan.
Right.
And I couldn't talk the language.
Yeah.
And this transforming from the city life to the life in a village in the middle of nowhere among the mountains in rural part was not really easy, and I was failed on that time to make any friends, because
yeah,
I couldn't talk, I couldn't communicate, and it was really I was not really happy living there, and I always were dreaming to get out, to move to Kabul. And I did when I was 18, after 7 years. When I moved out to Kabul, I very by accident I studied cinema and theater, because I went to university in Kabul. To pass the entry exam, but I wanted to study physics at that time.
But, which is different from filmmaking.
Very much. Very much. I've never dreamed to be a filmmaker. I didn't want to. It was very far away from my life and my family. My family, they are a little bit conservative, and my father is very religious, against any kind of art. And I've never dreamed to be artist or to make film. And I didn't watch really films, you know. Like the first time that I watched film in a real cinema theater, it was like 7 years ago when I was 20 in Cinémathèque in Paris.
Right.
And that was the first time that I watched film in the real cinema theater. You know, so that...
Yes.
I'm trying to say that cinema was very far away
from your ideas or life. Yes.
And then I went to this to university in Kabul to get the paper for the entry exam. And I was a new arrival in the city. I couldn't speak the dialect that they speak in Kabul, because they completely talk in a different dialect than central Afghanistan. And by mistake, like I took the wrong paper, and while filling the paper, I found out that it's a cinema and theatre faculty, and I couldn't really give it back, because I had to wait one more year to pass the physics the exam, because it was already passed before I came to Kabul. And that time I really wanted to have an excuse to stay in Kabul, otherwise my father just took me back to the village. I just wanted, I didn't really care about what field, I didn't have any aim except receiving my bachelor or having excuse to stay in Kabul to find a job, you know. I wanted to do everything except like going back to the village. And a year after, I studied in a French documentary workshop, and it was there actually that I fell in love with the cinema documentary.
Yeah, and that was written in the stars.
Yeah, and I studied there for 3 months about the basic of filmmaking, and they were talking about the, you know, they were spreading a very specific kind of cinema documentary, cinema verite. And they were talking about the truth and reality and observational point of view, that for all my life till that time, I was 19 years at that time in 2009, and I always had this observational point of view, because I was quite like an outsider. I was never with people. I was always out watching them, you know, and I felt very connected to the language of the cinema verite, of the documentary cinema. And then I started to develop my own project after graduation from that workshop, and then I thought, okay, maybe it's nice to share my experience of living there in the village. And of course I had a different point of view than when I was in the village. I felt more connected to Afghanistan, to the culture. I learned the language of central Afghanistan, of Kabul, the dialect, and you know, I met more people. In this workshop, I started to have access to the great movies, great films, and I watched them in my computer, you know. And I was like entering a completely new world, and this new world gave me the opportunity to have a flashback and to look back
at your life,
my life, yes. And I was thinking, like, you know, I watched a lot of films about Afghanistan. And I wanted to know more about how other people look at Afghanistan, you know. So I started to watch many films about from like an international director, from American, from Iranian director, from like an Indian, European director, and they are like so many films about Afghanistan. But when I was watching them, I really didn't feel connected to the films. I thought like they really tried to make film about Afghanistan, but their knowledge is as poor as my knowledge in when I just arrived in Afghanistan, you know?
So basically nothing.
Yeah, basically nothing, yeah. And, you know, because I remember, like, when I was 11 years, before we come to Afghanistan, the only thing that I knew about Afghanistan, it was the news that they broadcast in the Iranian TV about Afghanistan, and it was always talking about war, non-stop.
The war, of course.
And I even never questioned myself, what is this for, and who is fighting against who, you know? There were only two shots that Iranian media, they always use those two shots for any kind of news about Afghanistan, and it was one shot about a tank in a desert, and then the other was a car that Taliban with the turban and with the long beard, they had Kalashnikov, and they were sitting at the back of the car and they're looking at the camera. And
that was like an iconic image back then of Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all over the news.
Yes, exactly. And then I thought, like, I thought they are at the same stage as I was before, you know?
Yeah.
And then I thought maybe it's really worse to make something deeper about...
So you actually have condensed all your memories back then in the village in the narrative of this film.
Yes.
So your memories, your... also your feelings, I suppose, and the emotions that you used to feel while you were a kind of a stranger person in a very remote village in rural Afghanistan. So is there any autobiographical notes in relation to the other kids, like friends that you had back then?
Yes, yes. You know, when I moved to Kabul, I was 18 and I got a job. Right after I was in the university, I got a job in the TV, and there I met a man who lived at the same village as I, but he lived at that village in 70s. He's
right.
Like double age as me,
yeah.
And he lived in 70s in the village, and he was completely in opposite of me. He was born in the village, and when he was 8 years, his stepsister took him to the town, and I was born in the city, and my parents took me to the village.
Yeah, so the opposite, really.
Yes, and it was very interesting, because when we talk about our experience in the village, it looked like there were so many similarities, and I thought like it looked like we lived there at the same time, because nothing has changed. Like the people, the characters, the stories, the gossips, everything, the tales, the fairy tales, everything was the same. So I tried to, because he was also an outsider living there. And then after we met, we become like a best friend till now. He was working with me at as a second AD in the film.
All right.
And then he gave me his diary of 800 pages. And when I read his diary, I was like, okay, I need to bring his story there. But it's very interesting, because Wolf and Sheep is kind of my autobiographical film, but also his autobiographical film.
Of course. And in the film, you use a cast of non-actors. Tell us a little bit about the casting.
Okay. Yes, I did the casting of... In the duration of 2 years, I traveled to Central Afghanistan. I visited more than 40 schools. I took picture from like 2,500 children.
Wow!
And yes, and then of course I also get back to my village. I took picture of my relatives there, living there, the people that I knew from all the years I was living there, and I came up with the. Main cast of the children, and then when I went to the families to negotiate about, you know, taking them with me to the shooting, I found it very complicated to communicate with the families, because even though I knew the language, they knew my parents, and it's very important, like in Afghanistan, you know, people, they don't have last name, and everyone knows you from your father's name, and it's very important where are you from, and you know, they feel more trusted if you are from that region, and if they know your parents and your grandfather, and these elements they are very important, and they knew where I live and where I'm coming from and who is my grandfather and all these things. But it was tricky, because I tried to explain them how cinema works and how what I expect them to do, you know, and I tried to explain them about film, but as long as I explain, I found out that I make things even more complicated. So I decided, okay, I'm not gonna explain anymore. I also need some grown ups. So why you are not coming with your children?
Yeah, so and the parents could stay with the kids.
Exactly. So it was like a 5-6 people from one family, and for them, they had no idea what I want from them. And they were like more like, because for them it was really big deal to get out of the village.
Yes, sure.
And you know, these people, like some of them, they are also my relatives in the film, and they never had the chance of visiting the closest town or Kabul. Kabul is like a big dream, you know, as my dream was on that time. And for them, like moving from one country, from their village to another country, because we didn't shoot the film in Afghanistan, we shot in Tajikistan.
Right.
And they didn't know where is Tajikistan, you know.
For them,
it was really big deal to take this decision that they come.
Why did you shoot in Tajikistan?
We couldn't shoot in Afghanistan because I was working with European crew,
right.
And all the money came from Europe. And I really couldn't take the risk. For my European crew to come to Afghanistan, even though Central Afghanistan is the most safe place in the entire Afghanistan. But the way to Central Afghanistan from Kabul is Taliban area.
It's very dangerous.
You drive.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Wolf and Sheep is your debut feature, and the winner of a top prize at Cannes, the Directors for Night in 2016. Did you expect this success? I know this sounds a silly question, but sometimes when you put so much effort in a project, it's your first big project, you really don't know what to expect. So how did you feel when you realized that you got this big, prestigious prize for your debut film?
Actually, I get shocked. I got shocked when I found out that they selected the film.
Yeah, oh yes, because I imagine that.
I worked on this project for years. Like it was, I had the idea in 2008, right after I moved out from the village. But at that time, I was more thinking to write a book about it, yeah, or write something, because I didn't know about these film, yeah, things, you know. But then later, I started, since 2009 that I graduated from that workshop, I was working on this project, and then I finished the film in 2016.
Yeah.
So it took like 7-8 years for me to finish the film. And, you know, I really, while developing the project, it was a real war for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted to talk about the Afghanistan that I know, but it was not easy for the funders, for the financiers, to accept my Afghanistan. They were reading the script and they said to me, like, yes, the script is very nice, but this is something universal. Where is Afghanistan, you know? And for me, it was really shocking that they are looking for their own cliché of Afghanistan into my story. And they don't believe my version of Afghanistan. I'm a local living there. I know how the real life looked like because it's my life.
Of course.
I'm talking about my life. But they didn't want to accept it, you know. So we applied for many funds. We made like more than 60 applications. We did a crowdfunding.
Yeah.
In a month, we collected 100,000 euros from 470 people from all over the world, that they gave us like from $5 to $5,000,
yeah,
you know. And I mean, the financing of the project was a nightmare.
Yes,
because I didn't fit anywhere. I was not European. I'm holding like my Afghan passport.
Yeah.
And with Afghan passport, there is no money coming from Afghanistan, no film industry there. And I don't fit with the European funding system
because
I'm not European, you know. So I was really trying to fit myself to,
yeah,
some structures, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, sometimes work, sometimes not. But I was enough lucky to meet a German-Danish producer who has the same taste of cinema as me, and she really fight together, yeah, with me. And and then when the film was finished, I was like, I was more in the mood of, okay, I don't care what the other people think. I think this is important story and I want to share it with people. I don't care if they don't like it. And I had, you know, I was in this mood.
Then
suddenly they took it in Cannes, and I was like, I was more expecting like, okay, they're going to say, no, of course, no, like this. But when they took it, I was like, okay. I really, yeah.
And then you won the big prize.
Yes.
So, thank you very much for your time, Charbonneau. All the best for future projects, and enjoy the Sydney Film Festival.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking to Charbonneau Sadat, director and screenwriter of Wolf and Sheep, here at the Sydney Film Festival, and I'm Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insiders.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.